Hello and welcome to another JTalk interview episode. Alex Bishop back with you here, and on the JTalk couch today we have a first team performance analyst for Premier League side Everton, originally from Japan, and his name is Keita Hasegawa. Keita has worked as a young analyst at Everton since July 2018. He's worked under some of the finest managerial systems world football has to offer, including Marco Silva, Carlo Ancelotti, Rafael Benitez, and currently Frank Lampard and his coaching team. So I'm hoping this episode proves to be an intriguing account of how an aspiring analyst has gone from Japan to working in arguably the world's top league. Keita will also tell us all about his journey so far, the role of a first-team performance analyst in the Premier League, as well as a brief comparison of the role of analytics in Japanese football and the world's elite leagues, such as the Premier League and Everton. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Keita, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, cool. It's good here in Japan. I know you're over there in Merseyside, my hometown. I do miss that place, but you know, Japan has its benefits too. Could you just give like a very quick self-introduction, a bit about yourself and what you do?
So I work in one of the Premier League team called Everton. So I studied Liverpool John Moores University, the one in Liverpool, about sports science, but a little bit more specific. Last year of university, and I got internship at Everton, and since then I've been staying at the club.
Cool. Okay, and so your role is a first team performance analyst, right?
Yes.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about what is the day-to-day responsibility or what you guys do?
So there's quite a lot of things to do as an analyst. So usually Monday, we kind of put things to ready for the coaching staff to present, and then from the Monday to kind of Friday, we kind of get things to ready for the match day. So a little bit of scouting, a little bit of post-match stuff. There's a lot of things to do, to be honest, yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're just kind of like, what, you're looking at games that has happened on the weekend, analysing things, and then getting reports ready for the coaching staff for the next week.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. So you mentioned there a little bit of scouting and stuff. Does what you have to do, is it to do with recruitment as well as to how Everton might sign or figure out who they need to sign in the next window and that kind of thing? Or?
So I'm just a performance analyst, so I'm nothing to do with recruitment. So we, in a Premier League Championship club in England, they always have a performance analysis department and also the recruitment department. Mm. And in the recruitment department, they have analysts as well, so recruitment analysts. So they're the people who kind of involves around the recruitment. So I'm nothing to do with the recruitment. So I haven't done any work around recruitment, really.
Okay.
So just purely be around the team and just focus on the matches, games, and our own teams, really.
Okay, cool. So your kind of analysis, that's to help the coaching staff. This instance, it would be Frank Lampard and his team about how to kind of develop the game plan for the next game ahead. That would be a good way to
put it. Yeah, correct, yeah.
Cool, okay. So just out of interest, because I, from what I understand, these guys on the coaching staff, they're not highly like data literate, right? What they tend to just focusing on, you know, on the game plan and how they can adjust their coaching and the training to kind of meet it. How do you kind of communicate with them? Is it like a challenge to kind of put the information across to the coaching staff?
To be honest, with this coaching staff, I think they're really keen on data and stats as well. So they are really open-minded, and it's really good for us, and because that's what we're here for, and we can kind of give 100% what we can do. And they are smart and they're clever enough to understand it. So it's been really good kind of relationship with them. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right. So just going backwards a little bit then, Kaita. So I think, you know, you were born and raised in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what made you want to get into analytics in football in the beginning?
So, well, when I was a kid, I always wanted to become a professional football player. But then as you get older, then you kind of realize, oh, I might not be good enough. Then thinking about like your career and what you wanted to do. And I was thinking about to become coach at first, but then I came, so around, when I was thinking around then, I was thinking maybe it might be a good idea to go abroad and then study about football. And that was a kind of generic idea for me. So it was nothing like, oh, I want to do analysis, I want to do this, like specifically. So that was the kind of generic idea. And I started searching what I can do, like study around football area, maybe in England. Mm. And the Liverpool John Moore came up, and the course was football science and the football, it was called. And basically it was the studying sports science, but more specific to football from a scientific perspective. And then that's when I found out there's analysis, analysis existing in football. So I didn't really know about it. And then from then, I kind of got into it and started kind of getting opportunity outside university. Yeah.
So why did you, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm also an LJMU graduate, a very prestigious university, of course. But why did you not start in Japan? Because we know that there's a few good sports science universities. Maybe Tsukuba University is a good example.
Yeah.
Could you have pursued it starting in Japan, or what was the reason for overseas?
There's no specific reason for me. I think I wasn't, how do I say, I wasn't aware of it, to be honest. Like, I didn't really research it in Japan. Like, I was in my head, oh, I had to go to abroad, maybe. That's why probably I could maybe study Tsukuba, maybe if I wanted to. But I just, like, in my head, it was just like, oh, I had to go study football in other country.
Right, okay. Cool, yeah. So what kind of challenges did you face, like, in the beginning? You know, I mean, maybe, I don't know if you had, like, the English is obviously very, very fluent at the moment. Was that always part of your background, or what kind of, like, challenges did you face?
I couldn't really speak English when I was just graduating high school. I had to study a lot, because I remember in order to study here, I had to pass the test. I think it was called IELTS, the English test.
Yep.
But then that IELTS test, so if you score high and good enough, then you can kind of go straight into university, so start from first year. But then I wasn't good enough, so I had to kind of go to a foundation course in John Moore. So, like, below John Moore's is a foundation course. Mm-hmm. So that, in that course, you kind of study English in an academic way. So, like, you study, obviously, English and kind of, like, chemistry, biology, a bit of math in English. Yeah. So you kind of get an idea how you use English in academic way. So that's where I kind of learned English. And yeah, to be honest, I think when I came here, that's when my English just got really, really better. And from that, I think, you know, like, you constantly have to speak English. You make friends, and then you always speak English. That's my language got better, I think. Yeah.
Well, okay. So more like kind of real life experience of using English.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
All right, cool, awesome. All right, and then how about kind of making the jump from like studying about sports science or sports science in football, making that jump to actually doing it professionally? How was that? Was there any kind of real technical skills that you had to take on, or have you got to be highly good with numbers and data science and that kind of thing, or?
So what I studied at university was kind of like a basic sports science, football science subject. And then you get the gist of it from every modules, so like physiology, analysis, psychology, anatomy a little bit, I think. And you kind of study like in a generic way. And then from there, you can kind of pick up like what you want to do maybe in the future or what you're interested in. And that was, for me, it was the analysis. And what I so I think university was really important, but what also important more important was the experience outside university. So like a little bit of volunteer work, placements helped me. So in a technical way, so like in analysis department, like in analysis area, you always start like filming the game and those stuff, how to use the camera, set up the tripods and just really basic stuff. But you learn it from the experience outside the university, and then it's just it was really like for me it was how would I say it was like very good experience just to get into with like a local club or maybe university team and it was really good. And then from there just little by little you just learn little bits of stuff from different stuff, and then it was it's like a step by step, really.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So, like, it's more the getting out there and doing the job rather than just kind of reading about it or whatever. Right. Cool. Okay. So what about like from here on for, I mean, not just with yourself, but somebody who is doing a similar job to you, what are the potential career paths do you think for a performance analyst? Could you just go to another club or a bigger club, or is there, I don't know, some kind of like an analytics agency or something like that, a think tank that you could.
I think there are a lot of a career paths for analysts as well. And to be honest, I'm the same. I'm the one who's kind of looking for what I need to be, what I want to be in the future, in 5 years, in 10 years. And to be honest, I'm not sure for myself either, but there are lots of like opportunities. So from analyst and then to become a coach, there might be someone you get a coaching badge and you get more experience as a coach, and then you become a coach, or simply you just progress as an analyst and manage the department, or you go to kind of the one with a software company and become a one of the staff for a software company and leading it for it. I think there are opportunities, but I'm just, and then also like as an analyst, just move to bigger club or seek for another new opportunity. So there are lots, I think.
Sure. Okay. Cool. So one way could be to go up, and you could be like the director of sports science within a club,
Yeah, possibly.
or like technical director. Would that be along the same career path, do you think, to get that high? Just look at it.
I would say so, but you would probably need to get a lot more experience in a different department as well. I think you need to have a lot of knowledge, different knowledge, not just analysis, but also recruitment or medical side or sports science side. Because the technical director or sporting director is managing all the departments. As well as recruitment and those kinds of stuff. So I think you you need to have a lot of experience and knowledge to become one, I think.
Right, so you need to have a bit more of a well-rounded career.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Yeah.
Okay, all right, makes sense. And you mentioned before about going over into coaching from the analytics side. Is that something that commonly happens? You see a lot of analysts go into the coaching? Or?
I think so, yeah. I heard in Japan that's the kind of case.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think in Japan, J League team specifically, I think, so an analyst is one, the coach, almost like a part of the coach.
Right.
And he delivers, they can deliver the session as well as doing analysis work. So that's one case, I think. And here in this country as well, I think some of the analysts is kind of part of the coach as well. So it is possible to become a coach, I think.
All right, cool, yeah. I think a lot of people, because they think, if we're looking from the outside in, people think like the coaching, it's all about the man management and people management kind of skills, and they don't really see too much of the analysis skill set. But yeah, it's kind of cool to know that, you know, you could get over there from the analysis side as well. You also mentioned about like software companies and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I think most people, you know, they see working in a football club as kind of the dream, but I'm sure after however many years it would just become normal, you know, you'd have lived the dream and that's it. And then probably a lot of people would think about going over to the software company for whatever reason, maybe the money's better. So what kind of software, what kind of technology would that be? Would that be like analytics, like BI tools or business intelligence tools or something like that? Or what do you think?
So we do use like several softwares for our analysis purpose. So one of them is like the most common one, it's probably Huddle Sports Code.
Okay.
So that's for us to kind of coding the games and then clipping the video clips and those kind of stuff, and also you can present it off Huddle Sports Code as well. So it's quite essential. There are other softwares we use for maybe for the match day, getting a video feed into the to the bench for the iPads and those kind of stuff. Yeah. So there are softwares, and people working at software is aware of what the analysis department like in the Premier League. In England, so I think we have a lot of common knowledge, and so say sometimes we have a problem with the software, then we can contact them and then kind of solve the problem quickly, and it's that kind of like situation. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. All right, cool. So, yeah. So what kind of advice would you have to somebody like yourself, you know, an aspiring analyst here in Japan or maybe in any other country where perhaps, you know, English isn't the first language? Is there anything you've learned from your own journey, your own experience that you would now maybe, you know, change, or maybe you'd advise somebody to think about when starting out?
What I was always trying to do was, you know, you kind of, before you try, you're kind of scared of what's going to happen and, you know, what you gain from this kind of a challenge. And you kind of, sometimes you want to do it, but you hesitate it. Mm. And when I faced that kind of situation, I was kind of, you know, try to jump into the situation, because you never know what's going to happen. And then it might be bad, it might be good, but the both of them are good in the end, because you learn. So I always kind of jump in the situation no matter what. And then from there you learn. And the next time, oh, maybe I can do this or do that. And then you learn. So it's all about experience, and you'd wanna kind of try everything, and rather than don't try and then not doing anything, you want to kind of, you know, try all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, yeah, I can tell that's you've been your philosophy, right? Leaving Japan without even speaking much English to go over to the UK and get straight in at the deep end. It seems to have worked very well, I must say. Yeah, cool. All right. Okay. So finally, just going into, you know, a lot of our listeners will be fans of the J League and Japanese football. And often when it comes to analytics, a lot of people, we don't really see it, right? It's not very kind of all there for people to look at. We see performances, but we don't really see the internal kind of activity that's going in behind these games and how they're managed and things. So a lot of people wonder how the analytics department and how J League clubs or how Japanese football kind of views analytics and science, sports science in general, compared to clubs in Europe and in your case, the Premier League. So how does it compare here in Japan to over there in the UK, the Premier League? Is there stuff we can do better in Japan or how is it?
Yeah. I have never worked in a J League team, so I can't really say much because I can't really compare like what's it like in England, what's it like in Japan. What I can say is probably obviously, especially Premier League, it's got a lot of money invested, and then it's got a great facility. I have to say. And I think the people in each department are a lot. So it's loads of money invested and loads of people invested, I think, in each department. And yeah, I think it compared to Japan, I think in England and in Japan, I think the biggest difference is money, I think.
Mm.
How much money is invested. And then obviously, I think, so for example, analysts, maybe we got 4 analysts in the first game, but maybe in J League, maybe or 1 or 2.
Mm.
So that means, you know, for Japan, analysts in J League team, it's got a more workload, more responsibility for each person, as well as maybe if you're the like part of the coach as well, and that's quite a lot of work for one person. But in the Premier League side, maybe so 4 analysts in departments, maybe less workload for each person, but then each person has to do a top quality of work. So the quantity is a little bit less, but the quality is the top quality.
Sure.
is expected to produce. So that I think that is probably the biggest difference between England and Japan, I think.
What would that, you know, if you weren't investing so much, what would the end result of that be? Like, what do you think the negative impact, if you're overloading the one analyst with too much work, what kind of implications does that have on the?
I wouldn't say it's a bad thing, but it might happen is like maybe because it's too much work and potentially the quality of the work might go down because it was too much work or so much work to do. And then you have to kind of, you got a time limit as well in this industry, always deadline because the game is coming maybe sometimes 2 games in a week and you have to scout opposition and then a few days later, you have to start a new team again. So, you know, when you got loads work just for you, it's kind of really, you have to work really hard and a long time. So maybe you might need to give up a little bit of the quality or the attention to details. And then the quality might... drop,
right?
That might be the case.
Sure.
You
And
know.
on the back of that, then whenever the coaching staff are putting together whatever strategy or game plan, the data that they have, the information they have, might not be accurate or might not be as good as it could be, right? So,
yeah, that might happen. Yeah, that might be the case. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, just before we wrap it up, then I've got to ask: do you have like a J League team that you follow in Japan, or?
Yeah, I support Kawasaki Frontale. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about how many back-to-back titles now? It's quite a few, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a good few years. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. To say the least. I mean, that's kind of a bit of a weird one because I'm actually an FC Tokyo fan. So we're
all right. Yeah.
Right. Kamigawa Classico, right? So we're
yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Okay, Keita, thanks so much. That is a very a very interesting chat. I'm sure that's going to be very interesting and helpful for a lot of our listeners, especially those who might be looking or thinking about a career within analytics. So thanks so much, and we'll leave it
thanks,
there.
Yeah.
And we
Welcome.
Wish you all the best. Yeah, you and Evan.
Thanks very much, Alex.
You know,
thanks.
Okay, listeners, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. It was great hearing all about Keita's journey so far. We wish him all the best, and perhaps he might find his way back to Japanese shores someday. Thanks for listening. Goodbye from me.